I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. No stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, the for all of the Stations of the Cross listeners. Thank you very much. I was blown away by how many people watched us on YouTube. Wow, I was shocked. But anyhow, God bless you all. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense. And as they say, common sense is not that common. Today, Jesse's out of town evangelizing. My good friend Matt Arnold is here. But before I introduce Matt, I just want to tell you, this is going to be a really good show because we're going to be talking about purgatory. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how you have the keys to help the holy souls to come out of purgatory and to become members of what we call the Church Triumphant. We're also going to be talking about why doctrine matters when it comes to evangelization. I'm also going to give you two reasons that St. Louis de Montfort says that people make errors when it comes to praying the rosary. You won't want to miss
that.
Yeah,
that was very interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about much, much more. We're going to have some inspirational stories. But Matt Arnold, welcome, my friend. You fill in when Jesse's out many times. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, yeah, for anybody that's new to the program, my name is Matthew Arnold. I'm an adult convert. I came into the Catholic Church in the Easter Vigil of 1996.
Oh, my gosh.
Sacramental Grand Slam. So as I often say, you know, being 36 years old, having worked in Hollywood for 10 years and 10 years before that, making my living as a full-time professional musician in the music business, I had a very impressive backlog of mortal sins all stored up for the last day. And then I was received into the church, and baptism takes away, of course, the original sin. It washed all my personal sins away, and it also washed away the temporal punishment due for those sins. So no purgatory time.
Wow, if you would have died right after that, straight to heaven, correct?
That's right. I even sent up a little prayer right after that Easter Vigil Mass. I told the Lord if he wanted to take me, now's the time.
Yeah, really?
And of course, I'd be ashamed to tell you how soon it was that I felt the need to make my first confession.
Soon.
But, you know, it's like my cradle Catholic friends, and you guys are praying retail on salvation, or on forgiveness of sins here. But I bring it up only because we're going to be talking about that later today,
That's right.
The temporal punishment due for sin and how that is expiated in purgatory, or here, preferably. Also, let's see, I'm a published author. I have a book out, I have a number of them, but my last one from Ignatius Press was Confessions of a Traditional Catholic, and I also have a podcast here on Virgin Most Powerful Internet Radio. On Fridays, you can listen live at noon to my podcast, or anytime. At vmpr.org or
and, you know,
app.
Mentioning vmpr.org, I want to encourage people. I introduced myself yesterday as being the founder of lots of different Catholic apostolates.
And that's another thing we have in common. Yeah. He founded St. Joseph Communications, and I was creative director there for
a lot of years. And so what I want to encourage people, I'm going to give away a Christmas gift starting December 1st, a free gift just because people go to our website and subscribe to our emails, and we'll keep you in touch of all the conferences we do, from family conferences around the country to events with spiritual warfare conferences that we're putting on. It's all on our website, vmpr.org. And if you just subscribe on the 1st of December, they get a gift. And, you know, I'm known to giving about 30 million recordings away. Well, it might be a recording, but it'll be a good PDF that I think you're going to really enjoy that will build your faith up. Well, Matthew, every day on Terry and Jesse, we always give the gospel of the day on the ordinary form of the Mass, and it's the Gospel of Luke, and I'd like to ask you if you could read that.
Absolutely. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, taken from Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink, and you may eat and drink when I am finished'? Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done only what we were obliged to do.'" Thus far, the words of the Holy Gospel.
What's your take on that, Matt?
Well, Jesus is asking several questions here that he assumes the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your servant came in, would you invite him to sit down and eat? No. Would you expect him to serve you first because he's your servant? Yes. Would you be grateful to him just because he's done his duty? No. Right? And he's saying, well, that's the way it is in the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord himself didn't come as a conquering Messiah. He didn't come as a great warrior king or as a judge, but as the suffering servant that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Same thing with, you know, what he teaches us all throughout his ministry. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. If I have washed your feet, you must wash one another's feet. And we need to understand that this is just the basic, you know, mean of discipleship.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, Our Lady of Fatima has something to say about doing your duty. You know, it's like the gospel says, you've done nothing more than what you should be doing. So
that's right.
Our Lady says that we talk about sacrifices for the soul, salvation of souls. She says that, you know, souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Even doing your daily duty can be offered as a sacrifice.
That's right. Everything you do, and in fact, everything with the exception of sin,
yeah,
can be offered to God. And when you do offer your sins to God, there's a crucifix on the wall behind us. That's what it looks like.
Amen. I love what Bishop Sheen says. Every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. But as a matter of fact, talking about Bishop Sheen, I'd like to bring that choo-choo train in. Full Sheen ahead. It looks like Bishop Sheen has a passenger on that train. Yes, indeed. And he's going to let the passenger say, give us a word of wisdom. And that's Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio.
Mm.
And I think they both communicated in letters during their both of their lives because they were alive at the time. For those who don't know, Padre Pio was alive. He died in 1968. He had the stigmata, which is really rare in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well,
Church.
He was, that he bore in his flesh, the wounds of Christ. And he is, in fact, the only priest that bore the stigmata.
Yep. So here's what Padre Pio has to say, because Bishop Sheen's going to let him speak for him. He says, and it ties right into this scripture verse, when a soul does everything possible and trusts divine mercy, why would Jesus reject such a spirit? If you have given and consecrated everything to God, why be afraid? You know, this really hit me hard because sometimes, Matt, I get like stressed out with what's going on in the church.
Sure.
And I have to remember, wait a minute, I've consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary. You know, think about this, folks. The evil one seeks to discourage us through fear. That's what's going on there. But as St. Padre Pio reminds us, God calls us to trust. So when one fear is the evil one sowing in my heart to discourage me, what is that one fear?
What is the one
fear
that the evil one is sowing
Everybody
in your heart?
Everybody has to answer that question.
Excellent question.
Yes. What does Padre Pio recommend that you do? I will do it now and ask for the intercession. I want you to do it as your spiritual fitness trainer. You know what that fear is. Might be financial. Might be just anything. You name it. But do what Padre Pio says. Give it to the Lord. And stop this fear that I would say is in a lot of people's lives. And we have to understand, we have to have an action item. How to deal with fear is by saying, look, I've given it all to God. That's all I can do.
That's right. And you know, Robert Hugh Benson, Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson, said that no soul was ever lost that took the ordinary means of sanctification.
Say that again, because that's profound.
Yeah, no soul was ever lost that made use of the ordinary means of sanctification. We have ordinary and infallible means of sanctification if we would only make use of them.
Wow. I want to mention something for everybody. Cardinal Pell, who I know personally, he's the cardinal that is in jail in Australia. On the announcement tomorrow on Wednesday, whether his hearing will be appealed. In other words, he's convicted of sexual abuse charges. But you know what's interesting, Matt? Now they're coming out with all this information. For example, one of the young men supposedly who was abused by the Archbishop Cardinal, the mother said that my son told me that he was just making that up. Now, he died in 2014.
Wow, pretty hard to face your accuser if he's dead.
Yes. And so and 20 people made testimonies that were in the sacristy after Mass that said, it's not possible that just could have happened. We had too many people there. Mm-hmm. So it's just, It's just a, it seems like he's being framed.
I think Cardinal Pell had powerful enemies, and and it looks to somebody that is well acquainted with the facts like he's being railroaded. And I can't say that for sure, but I can say that the facts will bear that interpretation.
Absolutely. Hey, don't forget, I know on the East Coast it's hard to find us, but we're going to be out in California for the Spiritual Warfare Conference the 11th of January, and a bunch of other conferences. Just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org to find out about that. When we come back, Matt, I love this. St. Louis de Montfort, who's one of my favorite saints, he says there's two common errors of those who pray the rosary. Do you pray the rosary? I hope you do.
You bet.
But St. Louis de Montfort's going to give you a little instruction. He took me to school. And when we come back, we're going to talk about those two items.
You're going to get schooled by St. Louis de Montfort.
I want to be schooled by St. Louis de Montfort, don't you?
Yeah, you could do worse, that's for sure.
Oh, gosh. I want you to know this is the Terry and Jesse Show. If you're just tuning in, Matt Arnold's filling in for Jess Romero today. Jesse will be back tomorrow. And we are two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense. And common sense ain't that common. And later in the show, we're going to also talk about evangelization and why doctrine matters. You won't want to miss that. But like I say, when we come back, two most common errors of those who pray the rosary by St. Louis de Montfort. Get yourself a cup of coffee because you're going to need it. I would take it a little stronger because, you know, the saints, they say one thing. They're very, very direct. And I appreciate that. Hey, you're listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. This is going to be an interesting comment from St. Louis de Montfort when we come back about the rosary.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
All right. If you're just joining us, Matthew Arnold here, sitting in for Jesse Romero, who is out evangelizing a fallen world even as we speak. Yep. I'm here with our usual host, Mr. Terry Barber. And Terry mentioned to me over the break that I was kind of doing a little introduction, and he mentioned yesterday that he was the founder of not only St. Joseph Communications, but Catholic Resource Center and Lighthouse Catholic Media, and he wanted me to...
I think it's going to be fun.
Well, to share something with you guys, my voice may be familiar to people that don't know my name, and if you've ever listened to a Lighthouse CD, you might find this familiar. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation produced by Lighthouse Catholic Media. Okay, I'm that guy. So those of you who are looking on YouTube can now put a face to the voice. Sorry, it has to be this one, but
that's the way things work. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, you bet. Well, you know what? And right before the break, you said you were going to share with us
two
mistakes that we make when we're praying the rosary.
But St. Louis de Montfort, I just happen to agree with him.
Yeah, okay.
Makes sense. Saint can tell me, can correct me. I'm going to school under St. Louis de Montfort. Good idea. He says the two most common errors of those who pray the rosary. Number one, the first is the danger of not asking for any graces at all, so that if some good people were asked to their rosary intentions, they would not know what to say. Think about that. We just pray it. Well, I got to pray the rosary. No.
Well, that's one of the reasons I like, I've got a little prayer book that has a very brief meditation for the beginning of each mystery, and it tells you what the fruit of the mystery is, and so you can pray for that grace.
Yep. So when you say your rosary, be sure to ask for some special grace or virtue or strength to overcome some sin.
See? Right. Anything that's going on in your own life.
Exactly. And he says the second error. I love that word error. We don't use that enough. Is that too hard? I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's the truth. The saint says the second fault commonly committed in saying the rosary is to have no intention other than getting it over with as quickly as possible. Is he a realist, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, anything that you do every single day can become rote. It can become mechanical. But that's on us, isn't it?
It is.
And to make it intentional. And every day, yes, to have some special intention that you pray for. Even if that intention is for all the people for whom I have promised to pray or whom the Lord knows that I should pray.
Well said. Well said. I want to give some good news before we get right into the purgatory story, but it is good news too. But I know many of you know who the quarterback Philip Rivers. He's the quarterback for for the Los Angeles Chargers. Well, here's the interesting thing. I love when prominent, movie stars or sports figures come out and they're not afraid to talk about their Catholic faith because so many people, look up to them. Well, he's a father of 9 children.
There you go.
So what does he do? He appears at some event after a football game with his latest little baby in his arms and starts telling him about the game and how it was. But he says, look, my priority is my family. That's more important than football. And it shows. And he's really a model dad. And I just thought for him to do something like that, it's a strong message to the world where, unfortunately, 50% of the births in America are coming without mom and dad together. And so we need to have role models. And I think Mr. Rivers, I've met him at a fundraiser, and he really is the real deal. I mean, he lives his Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you for making that witness.
Also, well, and that's important. The Catholic witness in your own life, that's the the 75% of Catholics that never darken the door of a Catholic church, except maybe on Christmas or Easter, and for our fellow citizens that are outside the church, you may be the only gospel they ever encounter. Witness may be the only witness that they ever get. And it's like that old saying, if Catholicism was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict
That's
you?
Right. Right? That's right.
So it really should show in your daily life.
One more inspirational story, because, we're going to talk here at the Terry and Jesse Show about some of the crummy things that are going on in a sense of, scandals in the church to try and straighten those scandals out. But we also want to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus through the saints. And this woman, this is a Catholic mom who saved hundreds of children from a genocide. Now, this took place back in 1993. We all heard about the Rwanda genocide. It's hundreds of thousands of people were misplaced. And this is a mom who took these kids. She didn't even know these kids, but she hid them from the bad guys. And when the bad guys came and found her, they knew she was hiding kids. So they said, oh, really? So we'll just torture you, and then you'll tell us where the kids are. They beat her. They did some really nasty things to her, and she said, no, I won't do it. And she tried to protect those kids, and she said that the only thing that sustained her through this horror was her Catholic faith. So you see, even in tough times, this is why it's important, and we're going to get to this later in the show. You won't want to miss this. We're going to talk about purgatory, but we're also going to talk about how why doctrine matters when it comes to evangelization. I don't think that woman could have done what she did if she didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she didn't have the grace to do it. That's
I agree.
Sure. And that's the thing, too. We talk about Christian witness. And I'm talking about, you know, making the sign of the cross before you eat your Big Mac at McDonald's or whatever.
Right.
That most of us are never going to be called upon to make the kind of witness that she did. But it's well to remember that the word martyr means witness.
And Matthew, before we go on to purgatory, stories, people like stories. In my book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, I tell a story of what you just said. A woman who was elderly was at a very fancy restaurant. And my good friend, John Lynch, God rest his soul, he's passed on. Mm-hmm. He is an evangelist, and when he was at the dinner table, he was waiting for a business meeting, and the guy didn't come, so he said, I'm going to eat anyway, and he blessed himself, just what you said, making that witness, and the 93-year-old woman saw him bless himself, and she said, young man, why did you do that? And she's like, who's he talking? Me? Yeah, so he gets up and says, man, can I help you? Yeah, why did you bless yourself before you ate? He said, well, I did it because it's customary for me to thank God for the food I'm going to be able to eat. I just do it every time I eat, and I thank God for everything. I'm really a blessed man, and I count my blessings. And she says, okay. And then she starts to kind of tear up. And he says, are you okay? And the elderly woman says, well, actually, I just lost my husband after 65 years of marriage.
Mm.
So what does he do? I'm so sorry about your loss. But John evangelizes her. We're talking about purgatory. It fits right in. She said to this woman, I'm going to pray for your husband's soul, and you can offer up any of your discomforts. You're elderly. Have you thought about offering up your pain and suffering for the salvation of your husband, who might be in purgatory, might be in heaven, but still a principle as a Catholic is we pray for the poor souls in purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her, because every action is like a blank check. He heard Bishop Sheen's life was worth living. And that's where I get it from. So the woman started to tear up, and she started to copiously weep for 5 minutes. The waiter comes over and says, what did you say to her? God. And I says, you know, I'm sorry. He's like, what? So finally the woman gets together her actions.
Pulls herself together.
And I forgot one more part of the story that you should know. He quoted 1 Colossians, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. So you need to be offering up your suffering now because you're elderly for the salvation of your husband. So finally, she cuts back after she's crying and says, young man, I want to thank you for what you said to me because I had planned to commit suicide after this meal.
Wow.
Yeah. She was going to commit suicide, she said to me, because I didn't think my life was worth living. You've given me a purpose to continue to live and pray for my husband. Why do I say that? Because too many people, we talked about, you know, what Padre Pio said about the evil one getting depressed.
Mm-hmm.
We have a high percentage of suicide right now in our country.
Oh, and higher than
out
ever.
Out of control.
Yeah.
And here's the point. When you understand the meaning and purpose of life, you can handle anything. So that's my little story to set up the teachings on purgatory.
Purgatory, yeah. Boy, you know what? Maybe the first thing to do is say what purgatory is not. It's not some kind of second chance.
No.
It's not a second chance to embrace the gospel after you're dead.
Right.
Some people have a weird idea about that. But we understand, we were talking about this in the last segment, that there is temporal punishment due for sin.
Amen.
Even though the sins have been forgiven. And, you know, I have 6 kids. I use that practical example. I tell the kids, don't play ball in the house. You'll break a vase.
Yep.
So they play ball in the house and they break a vase. Right. And
prophetic.
They say, Daddy, we're sorry. We didn't listen to you and we did the thing and, you know, it happened. And I said, I forgive you. But then I'm still going to make them pay for that vase, right? They're going to work it out in chores, or they're going to give up their allowance or something. They're going to make restitution. They're going to make reparation for what they've done.
Good principle.
And so, and this is the principle in the spiritual life, that mortal sin deserves an eternal punishment. But you can go to the sacrament of penance and have that eternal punishment removed. You know, remit the guilt of the sin and the eternal punishment due for that mortal sin. But there's still temporal punishment due for both mortal and venial sins. And that can be satisfied, you know, either in this life by good works and you know, going to Mass, saying your prayers. That's why the priest gives you a penance after confession, is to help you to work out that temporal punishment due to the sin. You know, and there's indulgences and almsgiving and so forth, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And purgatory is well attested in the Holy Scriptures.
Right.
It's something that, you know, I mean, the book of Revelation makes it clear. Apocalypse 21:27. Oh, we're running out of time, are we?
Yeah, but no, I was just going to say nothing perfect but pure will enter the kingdom of heaven, right?
That's right.
When they die.
That's right.
No, we're going to carry this on to the next segment because it's so important to be praying for the poor souls, especially in the month of November.
Right, which is the month of the poor souls in purgatory. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, Matthew, I just want to, this is something that I need to pray for. Our bishops are in their meetings right now. I want you to pray that the bishops that are meeting, they're trying to work on this issue of evangelization. And Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas, made a comment to the bishops. I heard it yesterday, and I just want to share it right now. He says, we have to become like first century Christians in the 21st century and stop watering down the faith. Now, I didn't say it. Bishop Strickland said it. I just happened to agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said this, that how are we going to bring young people back? And we know the statistics that by the time they're 23 years of age, 87% of Catholics are not practicing their faith. And Bishop Strickland is saying there's a reason for that. We let him down on the doctrine. We haven't passed on the fullness of the faith. And I think Bishop Strickland is nailing it. And when we come back, we do the purgatory. This next segment, I want to talk a little bit about that, why doctrine matters when it comes to evangelization. You and I have experienced, you're a convert, I'm a cradle Catholic. If there's one thing I've seen in 40 years of evangelization is that Catholics don't know their faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that goes to that, that speaks to the fact that there are a lot of people today who, even Catholics, who don't think the church teaches purgatory anymore. They think maybe that went out with Vatican II.
I've heard that.
And you see
terrible.
The decline in the amount of people who go to confession, the decline of people even that call for the anointing of the sick. And it's because we've lost that sense of what we're being saved from.
Amen.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
When we come back, it's purgatory. And I got one more good story about a fireman. Are you ready? This fireman is a former seminarian, and something happened with a baby where he went to go help, and he actually did something in giving it life-giving life. You won't want to miss this. It's a great story of a seminarian fireman. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil and the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, Escovina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold is filling in.
I
think Matt had a blank out, and I'll tell you why, because he's working with me on, he fills in when Jesse's out evangelizing. And Matt, I'm so glad you're here.
Speaking of which, Jesse will be back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And also, you and Jesse are both going to be out on Friday.
Yeah.
And I will be back with Father Frank Pavone.
Priest for Life.
Priest for Life. Yeah, I'm going to have an exclusive interview with Father Frank to talk about what he is up to and what's the state of the pro-life movement in the church today.
And before we get back to purgatory, I'd like to give you inspirational stories, because I want to not just give you Catholic doctrine, but I want to give you inspiration so that you fall deeper in love with Jesus. And this is a South American seminarian who is not a seminarian anymore. He became a fireman, and he goes out to a situation where he saves a little baby's life, but the baby is in desperate need of medical attention, and it looks like the baby's not going to make it. So what does the fireman do? He baptizes the baby and then goes to the hospital to find out how the baby's doing. Did the baby make it? No. And fortunately, he said, you know, that the child's in God's hand. I did what I had to do in an emergency. And fortunately, the nurse was able to tell the fireman that the baby looks like it's going to make it, but it was a good thing that he did. Why do I say that? Because, as you know, in the Catholic Church, anybody can baptize, in this case of an emergency, a child. Because the Church has a principle that we want to be lavish when it comes to the sacraments. They want to give opportunities to go to confession, receive Holy Communion, go to, you know, anointing of the sick. All these sacraments have a reason to be given. And sometimes, like Matt said at the end of the break, before the break, that people might not know about how to do that. And so people maybe are waiting years to go to confession when they really should be going at least once a month.
Right. Yeah, I can recall speaking with an older woman after a talk at a conference someplace. And she came up to me and said, you know, I haven't been to confession in 20, 30, 40, maybe 40 years it was. And I said, why is that? I mean, she hadn't fallen away from the faith. She was practicing Catholic, hadn't been to confession in 40 years. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, I wouldn't know what to confess. And I said, well, that's, you know, I said, I wish I was you, because I don't have any trouble at all coming up with it. Sure. But, you know, that's one of those things, too, that even if you're not in a state of mortal sin, God forbid, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go to confession. There are graces to be had.
You can call it devotional confession. St. John Paul II.
Because you get, even if you don't require the sanctifying grace to get you back in a state of grace, you get actual graces. You get graces to help you be holy.
Let's define actual and sanctifying. Those are good terms.
Well, yeah, the sanctifying grace. If you have fallen from the state of grace, if you're in a state of sin, you need that sanctifying grace to return to the state of
supernatural life.
That's right. The supernatural life of God in the soul. Now, if you go to confession and you don't have any venial sins, or you're even confessing just faults that you may have, you're going to get an increase in sanctifying grace.
Amen.
And you're also going to get actual graces, which is to say graces that help you to act.
Exactly.
Right? And act well.
Don't you think it's important to define our terms? Because I think sometimes, folks, would you agree with me that maybe some Catholics hadn't heard that term sanctifying grace and actual grace in a long time?
Yeah, I suspect that that's probably the case.
All right.
So we're talking about purgatory. We've established that according to the scriptures, nothing unclean can enter heaven. If you die in a state of unrepented mortal sin, then it's, you know, that's a ticket to eternity in hell. If you die in a state of grace and owing no reparation, owing no satisfaction for your sins that have been forgiven, straight to heaven. But Catholic Christians have always believed in the existence of a place between heaven and hell, where souls go to be purified, to be punished for maybe venial sins, or to repay that debt of temporal punishment for sins already forgiven that hasn't been remitted in this life. Now, you know, purgatory, it's like Trinity or incarnation or Bible. It's not in the, that word is not right. in the Bible, right? But this place is mentioned. Our Lord says, you know, talks about being cast into prison until you've paid the last farthing.
Yep.
Or, you know, St. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 3:15, says if someone's work is burned up, that one will suffer loss. The person will be saved, but only as through fire. The book of Hebrews distinguishes between those who go straight to heaven as the church of the firstborn and those who enter after undergoing purification as the souls of the just made perfect. That's in Hebrews 12:23. And then you go to the kind of the slam dunk, which is why Martin Luther wanted the book of Maccabees kept out of the Old Testament.
Yeah,
it says, it is therefore a holy and wholesome Second thought book. To pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. So it's a clear reference of prayer for the dead in the Old Testament and in the Sacred Scripture. In any case, for 1,500 years, all Christians considered those verses biblical references to purgatory. And the majority of Christians, you know, the 1-point-something billion Catholics and the Orthodox that make up 75% of all the Christians in the world still do.
Yep. And, you know, here's a good action item to apply about the poor souls in purgatory. How many of us listen to the news about some tragic accident that takes place? Mm. Rather than just saying, oh, poor souls, I'm so sorry that they died. They were so young. A lot of people say that. No. Make it a practice to say, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let the perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. This is a Catholic approach to life.
That's right. And you know what? And this is also part of your, you know, St. Paul tells us to pray always. And this is a part of doing that. I made it a habit amongst my children that when you're out and driving in the car, if you pass a church, you say a little prayer in honor of the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen.
If you pass a cemetery, eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Every one of my kids does that every time they pass a cemetery. And, you know, it was so funny. It's been maybe a year ago I was driving my one daughter to some event. I mean, she's a violinist and... I saw her making the sign of the cross, and I said, oh, did you praying for something special? She says, oh, no, I on a side street. We were on the freeway. I saw an ambulance.
Yep.
And so I prayed for the person and for their soul in case that they, you know, pass. So it's just about, and also another thing that you can do for the poor souls every single day is at when you say your grace before meals or your thanksgiving afterwards to add a prayer for the souls in purgatory.
Yep.
May the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. So that way, three times a day, you're praying for the poor souls and never forgetting them.
Wow. And Matthew, I will add that I want to encourage a way to help the holy souls in purgatory. This analogy, I think, fits. There's only one door out of purgatory for the holy souls. They can't go to hell.
That's right.
One door is open into heaven. But there's a catch, Matt, right? They can't open it themselves. They're dependent on you, church militant. And is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement, absolutely.
So we have to open it for them. We have the keys. Okay, here comes. What do you mean keys? Yes. The question is, will we help unlock it for someone during the month of November? That's my question to you. I hope you say yes.
That's right. Also, you know, any time that you... perform some act or say some prayer that carries an indulgence from the church.
Yep.
That indulgence, you know, which is, and okay, I'll take a step back. What's an indulgence?
Yeah, I wanted to find
that. An indulgence is granted by the church. It is the equivalent of doing penance, right? They used to, back in the days, they used to say you could get an indulgence of 300 days or an indulgence of 7 years or whatever. And it would, in other words, you would get the grace equivalent to doing penance for that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So indulgences are either partial, like that, they remit some of the temporal punishment due to sin, or they are plenary.
That's right.
Under the usual conditions, which is confession, Holy Eucharist, and to not be attached to any sin, even venial sin, which is a pretty tall order.
I was going to point that out. That's a tough one to...
But anytime you go for a plenary indulgence, if you don't really meet those requirements, you will receive a partial indulgence.
That's right.
And that can always be applied either to your own soul or to the souls in purgatory.
Well said. And Matthew, that was all updated by St. Pope Paul VI in 1967 that Matthew's talking about. You know, here's some interesting things to do that I think we all can do to help the poor souls in purgatory. Now, to gain the indulgence, you must be baptized and in the state of grace, as Matt said, and at least at the time of the indulgence work is done, have an interior disposition, a complete detachment from sin, as Matt said, even venial sin. Otherwise, as Matt said, the indulgence becomes partial, not plenary. Now, to fulfill the three conditions, wow, how do you do that? Well, sacramentally, confess your sins. Go to confession.
Yep.
It's good for the soul. Receive Holy Communion. Participate at Mass, hopefully when you receive Communion. Pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. One Our Father, one Hail Mary fully satisfies this. Now, one sacramental confession suffices for gaining several plenary indulgences, but a separate Holy Communion, a separate prayer for the intention of the Holy Father are required. Now, here's the interesting thing, Matt. When I was young, this kind of got longer and longer. When I was young, it was like within 8 days.
Right.
Now I got an update on it. It's 20 days. So the church keeps being more liberal in a sense of wanting you to get the indulgences.
Yeah, the church has always been very liberal when it comes to salvation.
Exactly.
We want people to go to heaven. It's the desire of Christ, the desire of God that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Well
and
said.
That's really important, though. Just
tell me, Matt.
Is the intention. You say you have to have the intention
that's
to make
right.
the indulgences. And that's why it's well in your morning offering. If you start your day by offering your day and all of your joys and works and sufferings, you offer it all to God, that you can make that intention. You say, I desire to gain all the indulgences attached to the prayers that I will say or the good works I will perform this day.
Well, keep going, Matt. I'm going to let you go. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk also about why doctrine matters when it comes to evangelization. So to wrap it all up, to summarize purgatory, it's a biblical teaching. It's found in the Bible.
That's right.
And also, Matthew, for 2,000 years, the church had always taught this teaching. And so when you hear someone try to tell you, well, the spirit of Vatican II says there's no purgatory, tell them, no, that's not what, that's baloney. I just want to make sure that people understand that, especially at this time of November, the church is focusing on us to have a sense of charity for the poor souls. Because what's going to benefit you, Matt, when that soul's out of purgatory? That soul's going to be praying
in
for
heaven.
You
That's
in
right.
heaven.
Yeah, I think they may be a little grateful.
Of course,
for the part you played.
It's just good time management, folks. You want people praying for you in heaven? Work on them to get out of purgatory. Hey, when we Amen. Come back, you won't want to miss why doctrine matters when it comes to evangelization. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jess. Jess will be back tomorrow, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. A very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
All right. Welcome back. Got my headphones on this time around. Matthew Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero today. He'll be back tomorrow on the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Terry Barber, and we've been talking about how we're going to talk about evangelization and the importance of doctrine to evangelization.
Absolutely. And before I do that, I want to give an example of what happens when you don't have doctrine and you're trying to evangelize. The church in Germany lost 200,000 Catholics just this year, and they've been losing over 100,000 for 40 years, every year.
Wow.
Now,
Why do people keep turning to them as a...
Yeah, they're not any model. I mean, come on, Matt. They're anything but a model for the church. Now, let me just throw something else at you. The African church, on the other hand, who some of these German bishops have said the Africans are backward.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say who. I'll be charitable.
That's fine. Be charitable.
But if you actually want to know how the Catholic Church is doing in Africa, hey, man, all roads lead to Africa, brother, where the Catholic population has grown nearly 250% since 1980. No other place on the planet have we had that kind of growth. Now,
and what's unique about the African Church,
well,
Terry?
Well, you come look, and then I'll tell you what it is that they've been teaching the fundamentals of the faith.
That's right. There, you know, the evangelization there has been accompanied by catechesis.
Yep.
Sound catechesis. That's the big issue. I don't know. Terry, you've been evangelizing for 30 years, for longer than I've been in the church. Yeah. And I've been doing it for 20-some.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many times you talk to somebody about these matters and they're saying, oh, no, no. Don't talk to me about that. I survived 12 years of Catholic school.
I've heard that.
Right? Like, I'm a total expert in Catholicism. And, you know, I took a cue from you that you'd say, oh, well, that's great. So you know all about it. So can you name the Ten Commandments?
Right.
And you'd be amazed at how many people choke on that. And if they can manage the Ten Commandments, you can say, oh, well, then can you name the Seven Sacraments? This is stuff you were supposed to learn when you were seven, okay, after your 12 years of Catholic school. But, you know, I've never had to ask a third question, Terry.
I guess not.
You know, I've got a third one prepared, but I've never had to ask it. And then you say, well, you know, maybe you didn't leave the Catholic Church. Maybe you left your childish impression of what the Catholic Church is. Maybe you never learned, you haven't really abandoned your faith because you never learned your faith in the first place. And that's the hurdle that we have to overcome.
Matthew, I was going to take more from this article, but I'm just going to throw it at you and have this dialogue with you because... Yeah. You put a catechism together for St. Joseph Communications, our Catholic faith, and I think you're holding a catechism in your hand.
I've got two with me currently.
You go wherever you go, this guy carries catechisms. He's a little odd, but I still like him.
Yes, and I've even got the internet on my phone.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so. but here's my point, Matthew. You're a Catholic convert, and you've experienced the same thing. After 40 years of evangelization, I experienced that same thing where people just don't know the faith. Now, I've also had this where we can't get back to the memorization of people memorizing the sacraments or memorizing why did God make us. This is a foolish statement because I've seen the fruit of that.
That's right.
It's foolish.
I can tell you something right now. My eldest son went to university and, you know, professors would ask these questions and he would rattle off an answer and they're like, oh.
Where'd you get
that? You know, yeah, where'd you get that from? And it's, you know, because I brought my kids, I know you did the same, we brought my kids up on the Baltimore Catechism.
I sure did.
And, you know, it's what we used to call learning things by heart.
And think about this. See if this analogy fits. You have a son in the military, and when he went to training, basic training, when they went and said, this is what happens, this is what you do when you're in this circumstance, and many times I've heard people say in the military, oh, my gosh, you know, they're giving us this formation that we have, and they're going over and over it again, and right. So that we have it almost like muscle memory, mm-hmm. You know, where we know exactly what to do if X, Y, or Z happens. But then when it happens, they're like, wow, it all kicked in.
Right, the training kicks in. That's right.
And I say, if that's a fair analogy, our Catholic faith, that when you study your faith and you know your faith, as you come in life, there's times where you go, okay, I now know what I need to do. I need to act and ask Jesus Christ for more faith every day, because that's mm-hmm. what I learned in my catechism. Have I been dropping the ball net? Yes.
Faith is a gift for which we must always pray, because God gives it to us out of his pure goodness.
That's right from the catechism.
That's right from the catechism. That's right.
See, and so what I want to encourage you, our listener, is to go out and get a Baltimore catechism. I know Mother Marion talks about it on...
You know, and it couldn't be easier. I mean, in today's world, I'm going to make a recommendation. I like the St. Joseph Baltimore Catechism. Mm-hmm. It's in three volumes, I think, and it's available from a Catholic book publishing mm-hmm. company, or virtually any Catholic bookstore is going to have it.
Yep.
But, you know, you can go to the original Baltimore Catechism from the 19th century online for free. It's in the public domain.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that question and answer thing. And what a great refresher course. You know, I'll tell you a secret, Terry. Mm-hmm. You talked about the catechism I put together. It was a DVD called Our Catholic Faith. Mm-hmm. It's an overview of the entire Catholic faith.
58 minutes.
In just under an hour. And how did I do that? Well, you know what? It's just the Baltimore Catechism without the questions. It's
don't
just
say
the
it
answers.
Too loud. And you know what I'm going to do for our listeners? I mean that. If somebody really wanted that, I'm going to do a crazy thing. Don't call all at once. I'm going to give you my cell number. Okay. And I want you, if you have a need for your family to have a great catechism for the kids and for the adults, call me at 661-972-7872. Now, if I get thousands of calls, it might be a while for me to get back to you. But I want to give it away. I want you to have it, because this is so important today in our faith. Think about this. I said it before. 20% of the kids are still practicing their faith by the time they're 23. We've let them down. We haven't taught them the faith.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Pope Francis has made it a large part of his pontificate to want to evangelize.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing. We went to a big diocesan mm-hmm. function down in Orange County, and the whole thing was about missionary disciples. This is their new buzz mm-hmm. term. And that's what they're talking about in the Bishops' Conference right now. The United States Conference is getting together. How are we going to implement this, making missionary disciples? I'm going to tell you the first thing. It's a very simple axiom.
Here it comes.
In philosophy, it is a matter of, it's one of the building blocks of rational thought.
Yep.
You can't give what you don't have.
Well said.
Okay, so if you don't understand the Catholic faith, how can you share it? How can you defend it? How can you even keep it?
And you know, Matt, you nailed it, because I've met thousands of people coming back in 40 years who've said to me, somebody challenged me on my Catholic faith and I couldn't answer that question. And I was like, wow, I don't know my faith. And then they called me and said, what can you help me? And then I would give them Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living, get Scott Hahn material. And they were like on a search for truth, and they found it. And then they became, you know, informed on their faith. And then they were evangelizing after
that. And I think as Catholic Americans, mm-hmm. we have perhaps an even greater duty than Catholics in some other countries.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the United States is a mission country.
That's right.
This was not, you know, the U.S. wasn't founded by Catholics. And so we have a duty not only to know our faith, but to be able to defend it. I think a certain amount of basic apologetics is really requisite to being a Catholic, or to be able to give a Catholic witness in what is essentially a post-Christian society.
Well said. And here's our five stones that the Terry and Jesse Show end every show with.
Okay. Write these. That refers to David and Goliath, right?
Yeah, and how
that he picked up five small stones.
Thank you. Okay. I assume everybody knows that. Thank you, Matt. I shouldn't say that. Five stones. What are our five stones as informed Catholics? Well, number one, pray your rosary every day. Our Lady of Fatima talked about peace in the world. We want peace in the world? Get your rosary out every day.
There is no prayer
day.
That has been recommended more often by the popes of the Catholic Church than the Holy Rosary.
Well said. Also, I want to make a note about fasting on Fridays. Some type of fast, whether it's from food or from other things, offer up suffering, because every Friday is a day to commemorate Good Friday.
That's
so
right.
Keep that in mind. Also, go to Mass as often as you can. I have a blessing here at our chapel. We went to an extra Mass today at 9 a.m., and I offered it up for our people who are listening to this show as a way of me being able to reach out to you through spirituality of going to Mass. Now, one more thing. Go to confession at least once a month. The Saints, Bishop Sheen said it, St. John Paul II, Padre Pio. What does it mean? Go to confession at least once a month.
Yep.
And I go twice a month because I'm a big sinner. I'll be honest with you. I tell people I have to go every 2 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you
and
something,
sometimes
too.
More.
If you make a habit of going to confession, your sinfulness is going to become more apparent to you.
That's how it works. And then the other thing, read your Bible every day. Here at the Terry and Jesse Show, we tell you, hey, we're going to read the Bible every day to you, the gospel. And I might add just a little kicker on the five stones. After this show, I do a series, another show with my wife who's got a master's in biblical studies, a theology degree from Father Fessio at Ignatius Press. She does the Bible study. I'm just here to, you know, go along with her. But after this show, if you go to Virgin Most Powerful, we will be able to hear that on our podcast or live. But the five stones, Matthew, are really the key to living a holy life. And Our Lady of Fatima said this. She said that souls are going to hell like snowflakes. Picture that, everybody. Mm-hmm. And why? Because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices for them. I think of that being good time management. Again.
Right. Yeah, and so you think of St. Monica and St. Augustine, that she spent a lifetime almost, you know, praying for her son before he finally came in and became one of the greatest saints of the church.
Well said. And then what we always say here, for those who are new listeners, I want to welcome all the Stations of the Cross listeners. You're going to get, you know, some high-energy Catholic faith with the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt fills in when Jesse's on a trip, or I am, because we do evangelization mostly every weekend. And we ask this question every single day. And I want you to say two things. My advice before that question is, ask Jesus Christ for more faith every day. As your spiritual fitness trainer, if you're not doing that, go, hey, nobody's ever told me to do that. Well, I'm telling you to ask Jesus Christ for more faith every day. And then I'm going to give some advice from Fulton Sheen's book, Three to Get Married. He said it. Hey, he says, listen, mister, your love for your wife will not last because you're strong. Your love for your wife will last because you have the power to renew it. Renew those marriage vows often with your wife and vice versa. That's the advice from your spiritual fitness trainers. Ask Jesus Christ for more faith every day and renew your marriage bonds, because good families, like St. John Paul II said in his letter to the families, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes.
Right. Don't forget to pray for the holy souls.
Exactly. Matt, what state should we be living in, brother?
That, Terry, would be the state of grace.
And what state shouldn't we be living in?
We should not live in the state of mortal sin. You don't want to even, don't even drive through the neighborhood, as Jesse would say.
Amen. And again, I want to recommend, Matt, for those who want to get the free December gift, what do they need to do?
Just go to vmpr.org and subscribe to our email list. Yeah, next month we are putting out a special gift. We'll tell you what it is as it gets closer. In the meantime, though, go there and subscribe, and we will send that out to you at the beginning of the next month.
I want to thank you all for listening to the Terry and Jesse Show here at Virgin Most Powerful. We're honored to be on Stations of the Cross and all the other independent stations that are picking us up. We're grateful because, as I always like to say, we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Matthew, and I just want to say full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. May God richly bless you and your family. God love you. Thank you, Matt.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.